Take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me.
Sing with us.
Take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be. Set your seal upon my heart and live in me.
Take me as I am. Shall be.
Set your seal upon my heart and live in me.
Take me as I am. Summon out what I shall be.
Creating Spirit, you made the earth to be always in motion, never static, forever unfolding. As the earth spins on her axis and we move again into a new season, along with the leaves and the ground and the creatures, meet us in our transitions and tend to those parts of ourselves and our community that are unsettled, in upheaval, changing, stretching, and becoming. Amen. We have a reading now that is a glimpse into the story of the prophet Elijah from Scripture. Elijah traveled 40 days and nights to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. At that place, he came to a cave and spent the night there. The Lord said to Elijah, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice to him that said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?"
What are you doing here, Elijah? What am I doing here? Can I have you say that with me? I'm going to need your help tonight. What am I doing here? One more time. What am I doing here? Okay. You're with me. This is a question that we often find ourselves asking, at least I do, when we're in the midst of what I call an unanticipated transition. Moments that, the more we live, the more they become part of our lives. Through this story, I hope to share a little bit about myself, laugh a bit together, and listen for the invitations to life that these often uncherished moments offer us. These invitations are the movements of God's Spirit in our lives. So, what am I doing here? This question certainly rang true for me in a way I had never known one night last October here in this village. Well, close to the village. It was the end of the week, and I was ready to go into the mountains for my days off. The wilderness, mountains especially, have become a true home for me, a place where I feel alive, deeply connected, and have a sense of God's presence with me. I planned a simple trip to Heart Lake. I had been at Holden for just about 3 months, and I had often headed off to the mountains alone these months as I was still looking for outdoor partners. I was alone this time again. It was raining, but nothing to keep me in the village. I had my rain gear, my tent fly, and my pack cover, 5 miles. Not a big deal. I was prepared, so I set out. Late afternoon. Several miles in, that rain, I noticed, began to change to snow. A heavy, wet snow. I noticed the winds pick up. I kept hiking. And as I hiked, the snow kept falling. When I arrived at Heart Lake, around 5 p.m., 6 p.m. probably, a good 4 to 5 inches of snow covered the ground. Fallen branches and leaves were randomly scattered around the campsites. Nobody else was there. The winds were blowing steadily now. Snap, I heard a branch fall. Snap, another branch fall. Tall trunks swayed and groaned in the gusts. I looked around at my slim selection of campsites. The safest option seemed to be the exposed site. While not sheltered in any way from the storm, the risk of debris falling on me in the middle of the night was much less. Doing real risk assessment under these circumstances was not quite as fun as discussing them in Nancy's Wilderness First Responder course, my first prop. I felt anxiety creep in. The pleasant outdoor weekend I had anticipated was quickly fading, and the serious concerns of a winter storm weighed down upon me. I asked myself, what am I doing here? I rushed through my dinner that I had planned to savor, then went to set up my tent as darkness closed in. Why I ate before I set up my tent, I do not know. With just barely enough light, I reached into the brain of my pack for the black little stuff sack with my headlamp and extra batteries. I felt around, and I felt more. No, where was the stuff sack that I always keep there? I must have left it the previous weekend up at Hillguard Pass, and if anybody sees it up there tonight, would you just... did I leave it up there? My heart sank. And I realized I had no light. My eyes used to the dark, I somehow managed to lay down my ground cloth, set up my tent and fly, lay out my thermarest and unstuff my down sleeping bag, fumbling along the way. I noticed the snow piling up rapidly. Finally, I got nestled into my sleeping bag, sliding as far in it as I could to feel more protected. The sleety snow pounded relentlessly on my REI Half Dome three-season tent, and it was now about 8 p.m. I felt the anxiety turn into fear. In that fear, I felt the familiar solitude that I had anticipated, time for reflection, journaling, prayer, become profound and dark isolation. If I yelled, nobody would hear me. I felt incredibly alone and extremely exposed. I asked myself again, what am I doing here? I've not come to an answer yet. In 20 minutes, I checked the snow accumulations outside my tent. A lot. I quickly realized that falling asleep was not an option if I wanted to wake up the next morning breathing. Getting buried was a real option. So in another 20 minutes, I shoveled again. Now let me tell you, shoveling that night took on a new meaning with the only one I had, a hand trowel for digging my cat hole. So I lay back down, and I so hoped this storm would stop. It's been going on for hours now. It has to stop sometime soon. Another 15 minutes went by. Wait. Things are getting quieter. Maybe it's calming down. I felt myself being lulled into believing that and into sleep. With great hopes, I kicked the roof of my tent to confirm a slowing storm. The sleet pounded on my tent just as harshly as before. It was snowing as hard as ever. It was only 9 p.m. My heart sank further down. At this point, I felt any sense of remaining safety totally disappear, ushering me into some sort of survival mode. I would have to shovel all night, furiously and ridiculously, with my hand trowel to stay alive. I could become hypothermic as I got progressively wet. I was physically and mentally exhausted, yet it was impossible to rest. And in a tone of much greater desperation, this is the last time, I asked myself, what am I doing here? Then I paused. And I listened. And I said, help. Help me to see what I need to see. And in the noise of the storm, in those winds that were still going very strong, the swaying branches and the falling limbs, I remembered the boulder, the overhanging boulder near me. I knew it was there, but the visibility was pretty lousy, and I couldn't make it out. I headed in the general direction of this large boulder that I had remembered, pulse-holing every step. Snow kept hitting my face and going into my eyes, but it eventually came into view. I think it was only about 30 feet away. I somehow managed to drag my thermarest and sleeping bag through a foot and a half of snow at that point to the boulder. I felt around underneath it. The angle was severe enough. The ground was relatively dry. I managed to make some kind of a bivy on the rock bed beneath the overhang of the boulder, wrapping myself in my sleeping bag, and I rolled myself into the tarp. I laid there. I felt the unexpected place of rest and relief in the eye of the storm. I took a few deep breaths. Though piles of heavy snow slid and landed a few feet in front of me, a few feet behind me, I was safe. I closed my eyes and felt a strange kind of peace. I was finally free to fall asleep. I opened my eyes. It was still dark, but this time I saw glimpses of light. Stars. Through my heavy eyelids, I tried to open them. I didn't know how awake or how asleep I was at this point. And I did see stars glimmer in the sky. And hope glimmered in me. And I remembered the lines that we sing every week or say, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I still heard winds, but the winds that once raged were now clearing the storm. I had to pee real bad. No way. I fell back to sleep. When I woke, I felt the relief again. I also felt the dampness of my improvised cocoon, and while not the epitome of comfort, it certainly was better than exposing myself to the cold air. I forced myself out. I mustered up the courage to go look at my tent. There it was, barely. 3 feet of it, I saw, showing, like the tip of an iceberg. The poles holding together somewhat awkwardly deformed under the weight of the snow. The storm was over. I took down my tent, and I could begin my return back to the village. I began the 5-mile trek in 2 feet of snow, with no snowshoes, post-hauling all the way. It took me 4.5 hours, probably 5, actually, now that I remember. While it seemed an eternal journey, the hope of returning to safety and community energized each of my steps. I got back before Vespers, too. So, what are we doing here? What are we doing in these times of unanticipated transition? What is the invitation? Well, there might be a few. I probably could have better prepared by taking a close look at the weather report, which predicted 2 inches of rain that day. The conversion to snow being 2 feet. But more deeply, undergoing this transition in the wilderness from safe, familiar, and enjoyable conditions into the darkness of fear, isolation, and physical danger reminded me in a powerful way that there is always a place of rest and life available to us. It's present, even when that seems impossible, unrecognizable in the noise and the chaos of the storm, whatever that storm may be. This transition invited me to pause, listen, and look. I believe this invitation is for all of us in our unanticipated transitions, be it one night or many nights. We are invited to listen for life, the life of God within us, around us, and between us in our communities. We are made for this life. Our spirits will recognize it, our eyes will see it, our ears will hear it when we listen deeply. And from that quiet place, we will find rest and freedom. From that place, we can discern what is good and true. We are invited, no matter the emotional or spiritual state we find ourselves in, disoriented, confused, grieving unexpected losses of people or plans, afraid and isolated as if we're in a tent that's going under, caught off guard and unprepared with a lousy hand trowel, or twisted up inside like my tent pole. And here's an amazing thing. Something about undergoing the storm, an unanticipated storm, actually deepens our capacity to notice and to hear life in new ways. Something about the disorientation makes this possible. I think of Elijah in tonight's reading. What did it say? After the fire, the blazes, there was a sound of what? Sheer silence. Thin, quiet. And he heard it. And we can hear it too. So I'd like to invite you into a moment with me now of reflection. Feel free to close your eyes if you'd like, or not. I invite you to consider an unanticipated transition you are currently in. How are you responding? What would rest look like within that storm? When you listen deeply, what do you hear? Where could you begin to anticipate light? What would being guided by a spirit of hope look like for you? As you come back to this moment together, I'd like to close with this blessing. This is an excerpt from John O'Donohue's blessing for the interim time. It's a long one. I'm reading the last part. As far as you can, hold your confidence. Do not allow your confusion to squander this call, which is loosening your roots in false ground, that you might come free from all you have outgrown. What is being transfigured here is your mind, and it is difficult and slow to become new. The more faithfully you can endure here, the more refined your heart will become. For your arrival, for our arrival in the new dawn. Amen.
Charlie will speak the words, and then we'll sing together.
Peace be still. Peace be still. The storm rages. Peace be still.
Peace be still.
Our closing blessing this evening is called Patient Trust by Teilhard de Chardin. Above all, trust in the slow work of God. We are quite naturally impatient in everything, to reach to the end without delay. We should like to skip the intermediate stages. We are impatient of being on the way to something unknown, something new. And yet it is the law of all progress that it is made by passing through some stages of instability, and that it may take a very long time. And so I think it is with us. Ideas mature gradually. Let them grow. Let them shape themselves without undue haste. Don't try to force them on, as though you could be today what time, that is to say, grace and circumstances acting on your own goodwill, will make of you tomorrow. Only God could say what this new spirit gradually forming within you will be. Give our Lord the benefit of believing that the Lord's hand is leading you, and accept the anxiety of feeling yourself in suspense and incomplete.
Be still, peace be still, the storm rages, peace be still, peace be still. Storm rages. Peace be still.
One last time.
Peace be still. The storm rages.
Go in peace, live into the new thing that God is doing.